Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning, June 13th, the feast of a very popular saint, St. Anthony of Padua, from Portugal originally, and the patron saint of lost things. St. Anthony, please come around. I've lost such and such. It cannot be found. He's a powerful intercessor. He was an amazing speaker, died at the young age of 36. He was a great homilist and teacher. And so many people came to know and love him during his time. And I never knew. I had heard stories here and there about why he became the patron saint of lost things. There's a really cool summary. I think I'll post it on my Facebook page on Catholic Online and a few other sites about why he is a patron saint of lost things and how it came about, that prayer, that poem that we're so familiar with as Catholics. Well, apparently, while he was a priest, as he was a priest and he was in the monastery, he lost his favorite book of Psalms. And I guess a fellow priest was angry and frustrated and planning on leaving the priesthood in the church, stole it on his way out. And St. Anthony prayed for the return of the book. And the priest came back, brought the book, and more importantly, asked for forgiveness and stayed in the church. So that apparently is why, and I'm greatly summarizing the story and paraphrasing what the website said, but that apparently is why he is the patron saint of lost things. And I do hope that you will take time to study the saints, because they're just phenomenal. I actually wrote a book about my relationship with the saints called Girlfriends and Other Saints, My Companion on My Journey of Faith. And there's a great quote in the Word Among Us today from St. Anthony, which ties directly into appreciating God and all his magnificence, especially his creation. St. Anthony says, "If things created are so full of loveliness, how resplendent with beauty must be the one who made them? The wisdom of the worker is apparent in his handiwork." Amen to that. How great thou art. And that is a quote from St. Anthony of Padua. Coming up on the program today, we are going to be chatting with Dr. Meg Meeker, author, speaker, pediatrician, and most importantly, sister in the Lord, about helping your youngsters, your kids transition into summer. Whether you're a homeschooler and you take the summer off, or whether your kids are in Catholic school or public school, having them settle down into somewhat of a routine during summer can be a little bit challenging. And we'll take your calls and your questions and also talk about some of the other things parents are facing, especially with all these issues that are out there right now in the culture. So Dr. Meg Meeker joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. And another doctor, Dr. Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association. Some pretty scary stuff going on out there from what they claim is a medical perspective, but it's certainly does a lot of harm, just the opposite of the oath that doctors take when they decide to do this for a living. In Maine, on the one hand, they are saying that abortions can be all the way up through 9 months, and they're also saying they can be done without a doctor, and they can be done by a nurse practitioner or a PA. On the other end of things, they've now approved an so-called assisted suicide law. Isn't that lovely? So we'll talk about that with Dr. Golder and take your calls and questions, and we'll give you that number right before the break. So just keep that in mind. And don't forget, all the information we share on Catholic Connection and EWTN can be found at our websites. It's co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And that's a great way, I was telling my listeners in my first hour of my show, a great way to be what we call at Ave Maria Radio, a shy evangelist. Let's say you're having a discussion with someone about something, and the person doesn't agree with you, and you find yourself, maybe you're tongue-tied, you don't have the answer, you can send them to one of our programs, whether it be Christ in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, The Doctor is In, More to Life, Christ is the Answer, Catholic Answers Live. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net and go to the archive section, and you can even link on the different segments of the program. And you can actually send that along to someone. So it's a great way to witness, or maybe post it on your Facebook page or share it in an email. So just a thought on how to witness a little bit as a shy evangelist. So right now, though, we can't be shy about the news because there's a ton of it going on. So let's get to it and see what's happening in and around the world on a Thursday morning. Well, meeting in Baltimore, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops approving a third-party system to report allegations of sexual abuse or misconduct. Baltimore's Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker saying lay people and secular authorities will be part of the reporting system.
So you have the vendor who runs the hotline, but you have the independent individuals who then ascertain the category, and then they make the notification to the appropriate authority.
Under the nationwide system, those with complaints will be able to report them confidentially over the phone or online. Reports will be presented to church authorities, but the proposal does not specify which will be given to civil authorities. The system will be reviewed during the group's November meeting. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, meanwhile, apologizing for the sexual abuse crisis within their church. During the final day of the SBC's annual meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, Reverend J.D. Greer said they're brokenhearted and angry about the abuse.
We have failed to adequately care for survivors of abuse. We have failed by not taking disclosure seriously enough and by not easily enough believing the survivor. We have failed consistently to report abuse to civil authorities.
He also outlined steps they're taking to prevent abuse, Greer saying years of cover-ups were to blame for the crisis, and the SBC needs to do a much better job of screening potential pastors. Jack Phillips, a Christian cake baker based in Colorado, being sued again for a third time now for declining to make a cake that expresses messages contrary to his religious beliefs. As Catholic News Agency explains, he's the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in suburban Denver. Last year, you may be recalling that he won a six-year legal battle that led all the way up to the Supreme Court. It upheld Phillips' religious freedom and freedom of expression in his declining to make a cake back in 2012 that would have celebrated a same-sex union. 3 months after winning the Supreme Court case, he was sued again by a local lawyer named Autumn Scardina, identifying as a transgender woman, for his refusal to make Scardina a gender transitioning cake. He then countersued the state of Colorado, claiming he was being persecuted for his religious beliefs. The case was dropped in March after the discovery phase demonstrated the state was simply displaying anti-religious hostility by continuing to pursue Phillips. Scardina is now the plaintiff in a new suit against Phillips. On June 5th, Scardina suing Phillips for a second time, this time claiming that he refused to make a birthday cake. The cake Scardina mentions in the new complaint, notably similar, Catholic News Agency explains, to the gender transition cake Scardina requested from Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 2017, both requesting to be made with pink cake and blue frosting. Maine, and we'll talk about this with Dr. Golder coming up a little bit later in our program today, becoming the latest state to legalize physician-assisted suicide. That happened yesterday. It's now the ninth state to make it legal for a doctor to prescribe a terminally ill patient a lethal dose of medication. Earlier this week, Maine's Democratic governor signing an abortion bill into law allowing medical professionals who are not doctors to perform the procedure. The first sentence in the college cheating scandal resulting in no prison time. Reporter Miguel Amaguar has details.
John Vandemore walked out of federal court facing no prison time. Former head coach of the Stanford University sailing team, instead sentenced to one day behind bars, time served, 2 years probation, and a $10,000 fine.
The judge ordering him to serve the first 6 months of probation in home confinement, the coach admitting his role early on. Vandemore did not pocket the more than $600,000 in bribes from the admitted mastermind of the cheating scandal. Instead, he gave the money to the Stanford sailing program in exchange, pulling strings to try to get clients of college consultant Rick Singer into Stanford. James Sliffman explains U.S. Supreme Court is expected to figure out today and decide today on whether to hear an appeal in the Bridgegate scandal.
In 2016, both Bridget Kelly and Bill Baroni were convicted on multiple counts of fraud and civil rights violations after the former Governor Chris Christie administration aides were accused of purposefully realigning the lanes on the George Washington Bridge, causing 4 days of gridlock traffic in Fort Lee, New Jersey, in 2013. Prosecutors said that Kelly and Baroni were enacting political payback against Fort Lee's Democratic mayor for not endorsing Christie. Both defendants want their appeal heard before the nation's highest court and now await a decision.
A quarter century after his son was murdered, along with Nicole Brown Simpson, Fred Goldman reflecting on his son's legacy. He says Ron was a caring person who looked out for people who needed help. Goldman recalling the time his son worked with disabled people and brought a stereo to work and told the patients it was time to dance.
95% of them were in wheelchairs, and he took one of them and started rolling them around quickly. And as he put it, we're dancing, we're dancing.
He believes his son was killed because he was trying to help someone. At the time, he was a waiter in Los Angeles. Goldman says Ron drove to Nicole Brown Simpson's home to return the sunglasses her mother had left at the restaurant. Goldman and Simpson were stabbed to death in her courtyard. Her ex-husband, O.J. Simpson, tried and found not guilty of their murders. Several years later, he was found liable for their deaths in a civil trial. Police in the Dominican Republic say they have the gunman who shot former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz in custody now. Reporter Morgan Chesky says Dominican authorities held a press conference yesterday.
Police showing off the gun used during the ambush, captured on camera at a popular restaurant, and describing the targeted attack that included a 400,000 peso price tag on Ortiz's head, just under $8,000.
A total of five people have been arrested so far. Ortiz ambushed over the weekend at a bar in his hometown of Santo Domingo. The 43-year-old suffering damage to his internal organs. He was then flown back to Boston this week for additional medical treatment. Mark Mayfield explains two tankers have reportedly been attacked in the Gulf of Oman.
Shipping sources tell Reuters that the tankers were attacked near the Strait of Hormuz and that the crews were evacuated safely. The tankers reportedly had flags from Panama and the Marshall Islands. There was no immediate confirmation of the attacks. Earlier reports said a Norwegian oil tanker was hit by a torpedo off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. Britain's Royal Navy says it's investigating.
Uganda dealing with three cases now of Ebola. They're the first cases outside the Congo since the outbreak began last year. California Congressman Ami Bera says the new cases, a reminder that diseases don't respect country borders, and that the U.S. must continue to lead on global health security.
It involves making sure there's accurate early detection facilities in Africa and in other places where some of these viruses as well as bacteria exist.
He also says some novel ideas are being used to help with early detection, including monitoring online search engines to see if and where people are looking up information on fevers and other trigger words. Brian Chook explains, if you have an Explorer, it might be part of a recall.
Fixing the problem is expected to cost the car maker about $180 million. The recall is for Explorers in model years 2011 through 2017. That's about 1.2 million SUVs. Ford said when those vehicles ride over rough terrain on a regular basis, it may lead to a fractured toe link on the rear suspension. That can affect steering and possibly lead to an accident. The company said it's only aware of one crash that was related to this problem.
And if you're heading to the Windy City, maybe for a weekend of summer, the Sky Deck Ledge, you should know, a big tourist attraction there at Willis Tower, back open after it cracked. Jesus Pintado says he was right there when the crack happened.
I think something fell from the ceiling because I saw like a little piece, metallic piece, like a square, and was in the middle of the crack of the glass.
The Chicago Tribune reporting the protective coating on the ledge experienced minor cracking on Monday, prompting its immediate closure. Video showing the crack has since gone viral. The coating was replaced, and the attraction has since, as you just heard, reopened. The ledge is a glass viewing box on the 103rd floor that extends a little more than 4 feet out from the Chicago skyscraper. And congratulations to the St. Louis Blues, who are not singing the blues this morning, quite the opposite. They're celebrating their first Stanley Cup championship. Good for them. The Blues beat the Bruins 4-1 in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in Boston last night. The Blues had been 0-3 all time in Stanley Cup Finals. 14 minutes past the hour, it is a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, the Feast of St. Anthony of Padua. St. Anthony, pray for us and pray for all the lost souls out there that they will return or come into a relationship with Christ and hopefully, God willing, in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Speaking of which, I did want to remind you that you could lose out, being that this is the Feast of St. Anthony, on the discount for the Scranton Diocesan Women's Conference coming up a week from Saturday. Don't want you to miss it, ladies, if you're in that part of the country or can get there. It's going to be a great day. So excited. That's actually my husband's hometown. He was born and raised in Scranton, a proud graduate of Scranton Prep High School, a good Catholic high school there. And Deacon Dom's going to be helping out the bishop with adoration and also serving in the Mass, so we're very excited about that. It's very easy to get your tickets. It's actually quickly moving to the, I think they're over 600 right now. They can take as many as 1,000. And last year, Mary Carroll was telling me that they had all these different reservations coming in the last week. So you don't want to miss out. It's going to be a great day. There's going to be great praise and worship music. You're going to learn about the saints. You're going to hear from the Sisters of Life. It's just going to be a great day to be there. And I'll be giving two talks, talking about meeting Jesus at the well. How do we open ourselves up to Christ? And then I'm also going to be talking about going beyond Sunday. All right, so all you have to do is you can go to the diocesan website of Scranton, or you may also check out the Catholic Women's Conference of Northeastern Pennsylvania, the initial CWC, Catholic Women's Conference, NEPA.com. So very easy, Catholic Women's Conference, Northeastern Pennsylvania. So CWCNEPA.com. The discount, the early bird discount ends today, so I just wanted you to get in on it and not lose out. We want you to find it. So pray to St. Anthony and then go on the website. All right, we'll be right back. Dr. Meg Meeker joining us. The phone number, if you have a question for her, 877-573-7825. It's a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, "Now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies." And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we asked for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Having a great day. It is a Thursday morning of Catholic Connection, 877-573-7825. We are working on getting Dr. Meg Meeker on the program. Dr. Meg Meeker is an author, a speaker, and a pediatrician, and she usually joins us about once a month, but it's been a while because she's been so busy, which is a good thing. She travels around the country and speaks, and she has so many good things to teach us about young people and how to help children, and she actually got into ministry. She was an MD. She was working, I think it was in the Atlanta area, and she had a very big practice in pediatrics, and she was noticing all these young people that were coming to her who were struggling with STIs, sexually transmitted infections. And she always thought and had kind of like the assumption that these were something that the STIs were something that kids only in broken homes or maybe bad areas face because of a, you know, not having a lot of parental involvement. And she came to find out that it was very, very common, extremely common in all areas of life, regardless of one's particular education or situation. And that led her to write her first book called Epidemic. And she's coming on this morning when we get to her to talk about summertime and how to keep your kids occupied and keep them away from the TV and try to limit their exposure to, you know, technology and get them outside to enjoy the weather and whatnot. But I just wanted to remind folks of the contributions that she's made over the years to helping us understand the beauty of the dignity of the human person. She's very, very obviously pro-life and is very concerned about the lack of abstinence and chastity that's being promoted among young people. So do yourself a favor and check out her website, MegMeekerMD.com, MegMeekerMD.com, to see her great work. Again, the phone number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Couple things I wanted to mention as Andrew tries to work. We're having computer issues today, by the way. I did want to mention a great quote. Did I mention it at the top of the hour? I can't remember. I'm getting old. There's this great quote. I know I told my local listeners about it. I think I may have mentioned it to you, but this is from St. Anthony, and it was actually in the Word Among Us today. Before you get to the readings, you always have a quote from the saint of the day. And this is the hard copy I'm reading. For some reason, this isn't on the online version, but it's in the hard copy. If things created are so full of loveliness, how resplendent with beauty must be the one who created them? The wisdom of the worker is apparent in his handiwork. Let me read that again for you. If things created are so full of loveliness, how resplendent with beauty must be the one who made them? The wisdom of the worker is apparent in his handiwork. Isn't that cool? And to me, this is just so profound, and this is a great way to evangelize through beauty. And this is one of the reasons why we try to bring as many people as possible on different types of journeys on a pilgrimage, whether you're going to Hansville in Alabama, the home of the Shrine. And by the way, we had two of our listeners from Annunciation Radio in Toledo who were on their way there. They won a contest on Annunciation Radio. They were blown away by the beauty of the network and all the religious items and just the great operation we have in Alabama. But I said, wait till you get to the Shrine in Hansville. You will feel like you are stepping into Assisi. The countryside, the church there, just absolutely stunning. And when you see beauty, even if someone I think is doesn't have any active faith, it has to make you wonder, how did this all come about? How is this even possible? As many times as I've been to Italy and seen the David or the Pietà or the Sistine Chapel, all of which are just incredible, I just look at those different types of art and I say, how is this humanly possible? And the bottom line is, it's not. It's possible because God gifted the humans, infusing them with particular gifts in order to show his glory and his beauty, and especially in particular pieces of art, such as the David and the Pietà, I'm just using those as an example. I believe the dignity of the human person, the detail of the human body, because these artists and sculptors were so incredible in their detail. You go stand next to the David, it's huge, but you can see such detail in his eyes, the muscles in his arm, his feet. It's just phenomenal. And then standing before the Pietà, looking at the sorrow in Our Lady's face as she's holding her crucified son in her arms. and the hair of Christ and the way he's limp, and you just get this whole, it's just phenomenal. And so if you're ever having a bad day and you're struggling, which we all do, you don't even have to go on pilgrimage. I mean, you can go on your own mini pilgrimage. Go sit in your backyard and look at the flowers, look at the trees, and you can see the glory of God. Deacon Tom and I were walking the other night and noticing, and I don't know how it's been in your neck of the woods, but in Michigan we've had so much rain. Rain, go away. Please come back another day. I actually said a prayer to St. Anthony on the air in the first hour saying, St. Anthony, please come around. We've lost the sunshine. It cannot be found. So hopefully he'll be working on that soon. But just walking along the street in our area in southeastern Michigan, looking at the beautiful trees, the big, big trees, and they're so just grand, and wondering, wow, God, you are all that. And then some. Working on getting Meg Meeker. We'll keep trying. But we'll keep talking, just between us. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
How does man fulfill his vocation? Through life in the Holy Spirit, the Catechism tells us. This life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity and is offered as salvation. Man's great dignity is rooted in his creation in the image and likeness of God. It is fulfilled in his vocation to divine beatitude. It is by our own actions, doing good and avoiding evil, freely chosen acts, that man conforms to the good promised by God. Human beings make their own contribution to their own interior growth, the Catechism tells us. With the help of grace, man can avoid sin and grow in virtue. It is Christ who reveals the mystery of the Father and his love for man, thus making man fully manifest to himself and bringing to light his exalted vocation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hope you're having a great day. It's Thursday, June 13th, 877-573-7825. We found her. St. Anthony found Meg Meeker for us. We lost you there for a minute, but we found her, and she resides in beautiful northern Michigan. Northern Lower Michigan, which, like us, has had a lot of rain. And so this discussion we're going to have regarding the summer months could be even more apropos, because sometimes parents will be like pulling their hair out. What do we do with our children when they're inside all day long? We don't want them sitting in front of the TV. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good to talk to you again.
It is too long. It's been too long. But
yeah.
I think of you a lot as I'm on planes and writing and doing different things. I think, I wonder what Teresa's doing now, because I figure you're probably crisscrossing me in the sky somewhere.
Absolutely. I only have three or four events this summer, which will be nice. It'll be a little bit more low-key. Last year I was out seemed like every weekend in the summer. But, you know, summer is one of my favorite seasons. So it's a good time.
Got to dial back a little bit in the
yes.
summertime. Yep,
yeah,
for sure.
And now your kids are grown up, but you have grandchildren now, so I'm sure your children are facing what you faced as a parent and many parents face when the summer rolls around, whether they homeschool and take the summer off or whether they have their children in Catholic or public school. We don't want to sit our kids in front of the TV all day.
Exactly.
So what are your recommendations?
Well, that, you know, that's a great question, because I'm pretty involved in my grandkids' lives, and I'm asking myself that all the time. We have two-year-old twins. I think, okay, now what? You know, I think that one of the things that's really nice for kids is to try to get them into a nice rhythm. You don't want to have a, you know, a real rigid schedule, because they have schedules, you know, all year long anyway during school. But I think that if you start to get a nice rhythm, like do a couple things in the morning, couple things in the afternoon, that aren't necessarily super planned, but you know, okay, this morning we're going to go outside and we're going to do this. I think, you know, some really fun things to do are, you know, if you can have a couple of friends, join them at a park and have sort of an activity scheduled, and it doesn't really need to be much, but sort of say, okay, depends on how old your kids are. Say they're 7 and under. You know, plan to meet some other mothers and kids at a park, you know, one morning a week. Tell the kids that they're going to have to be outside and, you know, do something another afternoon a week. Plan a morning where you're going to go to the beach. And sort of say, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday morning we're going to go to the beach. And, you know, every Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon we're going to be, you know, going for a hike. We're going to be going to the playground. Now, if it's difficult if parents are working, because then they can't be there to sort of take their kids and do things. So, you know, there are a lot of great things kids can do. There's vacation Bible schools. There are Y camps that kids can go to. There are all sorts of different Christian camps around. And there are day camps. And those can be really fun for kids. But I think the most important thing for kids is to keep them outside. Because once you let them stay inside, it's trouble, because they want to turn to a screen.
Right, right. I just have to laugh, because when I was growing up, I'd get bored and my mother would say, go ride your bike.
Right, go ride your bike.
Go ride your bike.
My mother would just say, go outside.
Go outside.
Get out. Go outside.
Yeah.
And then she'd find chores for us to do. This was in the day that people didn't have other people mow their lawns. And so, you know, we just go do this, go do that. But, you know, manual labor for kids, even younger kids, is so good for them. You know, having chores to do around the house, even my 4-year-old granddaughter found some change in my laundry room. She picked up a quarter and she said, can I have this quarter? I said, no, honey, you know, money doesn't come that way. I said, but if you fold this half a load of laundry or these 5 shirts, you can have a quarter. So even small chores around the house, even if you're not home, leave a list of things for kids to do. And at first they'll complain, but it really makes them feel so valuable. They feel part of the family. They feel needed. They feel productive. So never hesitate to give your kids some things to do around the house every single day, because they have more time now that it's summer.
Absolutely. Let's open up the phone lines if you have a question for Dr. Meg Meeker, 877-573-7825. And don't forget her website, which is just a great resource, megmeekermd.com. Again, the phone number, 877-573-7825. I know we both have twins in our family. I have my grandnieces, Liliana and Francesca, who are going to be 3 in September, and they are just a hoot. But what amazes me, and I know you know all about this, not only being a grandma and a mom, but a doctor, a pediatrician, is the imagination of children, because these young girls, as you can imagine, because there's so much love, they have a lot of wonderful toys. So a couple of weeks ago, we were over at their new house, and we brought my mom, and we had to have my mom in the wheelchair because she can't walk all that well. And now the girls have all these toys. I was actually in their toy room playing with their toys because they're so cute.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
oh, this is fun. This is a princess doll. I love dolls. Let me play with this. So I hear them with my husband, Uncle Dominic, and they're pushing with Dominic's help. They were fascinated with my mother's wheelchair, and they just wanted to push her around all afternoon. And meanwhile, there's every single toy under the sun. And yet I was thinking about, you know, they were looking at the wheels and they were trying to figure it out, the way their little minds work to build on that.
Yes, exactly. And have them build things, you know, get some boxes and cut out some big boxes and cut out windows and, you know, pretend it's their house and have them draw their house. Or and kids, if you have the chance, kids love it when you play with them. Now, obviously, you can't play with them for 3 hours, but if you can sit down for 20 minutes and do something with them, you know, even, you know, play with dolls, whatever, with my little granddaughter, they love to have you there doing it with them. And so encourage them to build things. And they don't have to be big, and they don't have to be anything fancy, but just give them some you know, some crayons and some markers and some boxes and some pieces of wood and say, you know, have at it. And also what's great is if you have the room, if you have some trees and you can help your kids sort of put together a makeshift playhouse, it doesn't even have to be up in the trees, you know, with some boards. And kids love that kind of a thing. The other thing about toys that I would really encourage parents to do is rather than have 25 toys out in your room at a time, have 8. So put some of your toys away, and then a few weeks later, bring them out and put the other ones away. Kids get overwhelmed with too many toys, and you're like, here, play with this, and here, play with this, and here, play with this. They can't handle that. So, you know, and have things, allow them to use their imagination, their creativity a little bit, and take their toys away, and then just give them stuff and say, see what cool thing you can make out of this. And it's amazing what they'll do. Like you said, they'll be totally fascinated with a wheelchair.
Yeah, or brushes. They were playing with their brushes, too, and pretending they were like microphones. I guess they get that from me. But it's just so funny to watch them. And I said to my husband, why do we kill ourselves every Christmas and every birthday to get the perfect gift? We could just give them a box and the paper, and they'll be happy.
Exactly. You know, if you ever get those big things come in the mail, like a moving box or refrigerator box or something, those are just like gold to kids, you know, to do things like that with you know, boxes and to decorate them and so forth. But, you're absolutely right.
So fun. All right, we're going to take a break. We have Mike calling in from Iowa, has a great question about his boys, and so we'll take other calls as well. Mike, if you can hold on, thank you for your patience. 877-573-7825, helping your kids transition into the summer months. If you have ideas you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you as well. The phone number again, 877-573-7825. Chatting with the one, the only, Dr. Meg Meeker on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh, yes. Let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Summertime, it's so short. We should use it wisely and well, especially if we have children and grandchildren, or in my case, nieces and grandnieces in tow. Mike, thank you for waiting, calling in from Iowa. What's your question for Dr. Meg Meeker this morning?
Yeah, my question is about, I have a couple of boys that I think, sometimes have a hard time finding things to do outside. I'm out there with them, and I often, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, find myself saying, you know, play.
Do something. Go play. Yeah, do something. Little, right. Yeah.
When I was little, my mom and dad, they didn't monitor my play outside. I mean, they did to the point that they needed to, but, I mean, for the most part, they're like, go outside and, as you mentioned earlier, Teresa, ride your bike or
yeah.
you know, play. And
right.
Yeah. I think they have to have me suggest something too much. They just don't use their imagination and enough. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just curious about the psychology that might be going on there.
Sure. That's a yeah, great question.
Me.
Meg?
How old are your boys?
Seven. Are they,
oh,
they're
seven.
Six. They're six. They're going to be seven soon, but
yeah, yeah.
They're six.
Well, I know exactly what you mean. I think that this generation of kids is so used to being spoon-fed entertainment that they don't have to work at it. And it's not your boys' fault. It's just the way life is now. So the only way they're going to learn how to figure out what to do with their time, which they need to do, is to be forced outside and forced outside. Now, you can go out and start doing something with them, like kicking a soccer ball or throwing a baseball or, you know, whatever. But then say, mm-hmm. guys, you got to keep on playing. I have to go in. Because you're right. Parents feel obliged to sort of be the ringmaster of a circus. They need to be there all the time, telling their kids what to do and teaching them how to play, actually. So you want to get your kids started, but then you need to leave. And don't buckle into the temptation of feeling like they're bored, you need to give them a screen, because kids are so used to being sedentary with a screen and receiving entertainment that they don't know how to use their imagination. So it is a little bit painful, but keep getting them outside, keep getting them outside. And if you need to give them things to play with outside, that's fine. You can give them a tetherball thing. You can give them, you know, put some bases in the yard and pretend it's a baseball field, or, you know, give them a soccer ball and a net. But you can give them a few things like that, but then they got to go out and they got to figure out what to do. So when they come in, I'm bored. Don't go, oh, I'm sorry, it's my fault. Say, well, sorry, you got to get out there and be out there for at least another hour. I guarantee if you make them stay out there long enough, they'll figure it out. Because that's kind of how we figured it out. I think parents are afraid of their kids being bored. And boredom is actually a very important teaching tool, because it teaches kids that they can pull themselves out of boredom. If they never learn, then they're set up to be pretty miserable as adults, because the truth is a lot of life is boring as adults.
Yeah, great points. Mike, thanks for your call. Appreciate a dad calling in. Happy early Father's Day to you, Mike from Iowa. I did want to mention just a funny story. I mean, my mom, Rosie, she's not around, just a round trip as my friend. Well, not just a trip, she's a round trip as my friends say. So we're growing up, yeah. And we complained because we didn't have a pool. And she,
oh.
she said to me and my sister Roseanne, "You want a pool? Go fill up a garbage can. You think money grows on trees?" So we said, "Eureka, a garbage can." So we literally got an unused garbage can that my dad had bought, you know, for leaves or whatever. We washed it out to make sure it was clean. And we took the hose, but we were so stupid. We filled up the water first before we got in and it all came out. But we were fascinated that we had a little swimming pool that we made up ourselves. We want a pool, go fill up a garbage can. So we did.
So you did. And, you know, it's fun. And think of how much you remember that.
Right.
You know, it's those silly things. If you would have had a pool, your parents put a pool in the backyard, if, you know, you wouldn't have remembered making a pool out of a garbage
can. Or running through the sprinkler for hours, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think we parents, you know, and I see this with my kids too, are so afraid that their kids aren't going to have teaching moments and fun moments. And we so much want our kids to have fun all the time. But A, they can't have fun all the time. But B, if we don't let them to their own devices, they're never going to, you know, fill up garbage cans with water. They're just going to constantly whine at mom or dad.
I don't think my mother thought we were actually going to do it in this section.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you were going to say she said fill up the bathtub. But, yeah, and, you know, and like I said, the other thing, too, is with seven-year-old boys, give them some chores outside.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they, you don't want them running a lawnmower, but they can, you know, do so. It depends on what kind of, you know, yard you have. If you have a yard, if you're living in the city, it's a little trickier. The other thing that can be really good for kids to do is to find little chores that people in the neighborhood might need done, if you know your neighbors and you trust your neighbors.
Right.
You know, it's a wonderful thing for kids to say, I'm going to go over every Monday morning for an hour and help Mrs. So-and-so, you know, clean her windows or whatever. Little kids can do that, and a nice neighbor's going to say, sure, come on over. So if you just get creative about things you can send your kids outside to do without you having to hold their hand, it's amazing what will start to come up. But parents shouldn't feel responsible for entertaining their kids. You can start their entertainment. You can give them ideas. You can encourage them to do projects. But you can't be out there with them 6 hours a day making sure they have fun.
Right. I mean, it's different if you have really young ones. So let's say the twins, like the 3- and 4-year-olds or 2-year-olds, that's a little bit different. But if you have kids who are of grade school age, they have to learn how to make their own fun. 877-573-7825. Janet calling on line 2 from Northern Kentucky. Good morning. What would you like to talk with us about?
Good morning. I love the suggestions that you have made so far. One that I have done with my kids when they were little, they're 21 and 22 now, was especially on rainy days, I would tell them it's library time. And they have to read some.
Oops, we lost you. Are you there? Go ahead.
I'm here. When they were little, I would have them do library time. Whether it was a rainy day or if it was time for me to go fix dinner and they were just so rowdy, I would just tell them, it's library time, it's quiet, you have to find a book, a magazine, or the newspaper, and you have to read for the time it takes me to do whatever.
Oh, there you go.
That's a great idea. And, you know, I was just thinking about that, books. Now, I think that kids should have to read, depending on their age, you know, 20 minutes to an hour a day. And I will tell you, I guarantee you, if you have a child who doesn't like to read, if you have them read an hour a day, they will find something to do outside very fast because they'll want to get away from the book. But that's a really important thing, and teachers will tell you that too. But and summertime is a great time to do it. You know, our kids live so overstimulated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have auditory stimulation, visual stimulation. They're going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, and they get very anxious and wound up. And so to take the summertime to help them dial down and do things like read a book for 20 minutes a day, a lot of parents will balk at that. Certainly kids will balk at that because they're like, no, I'm not used to being quiet for 20 minutes. I'm used to having, you know, a screen in front of my hand or having things jumping at me or making noise or moving very quickly. But it's so important to kind of equilibrate our kids' activity monitor in a way where they're not overstimulated all the time and sort of help them just to dial down. I think it's really important psychologically. I think it's really important physiologically, too, to get them to do quiet activities, even if they're 15, 16 years old. To have them read and have them make a little library too. They can take a little corner and put their favorite books in there, and they go in there and they read for X amount of time every day.
You know what we used to do? This is another funny thing. We used to play school, and of course my older sister always had to be the principal because she was Miss Bossy Pants. And so we would use the laundry chute, and we'd be downstairs and she'd make the announcements from the laundry
chute. Great.
We'd play Catholic school, and we'd have the little desk. I mean, but it's creative.
Kids,
yeah.
If you have a couple of kids, 2, 3, 4 kids, and get some neighborhood kids to come over or something, they love doing stuff like that. They love playing, you know, grocery. They love setting things up outside. You know, my kids and a couple of their cousins made the most ridiculous fort in a couple of trees, you know, a number of years ago. And it didn't look anything like a fort, but it didn't matter. It took them 2 days to go out and move these logs around and put a little chair out there and put a blanket out there. And, you know, there's so much they'll do if you just sort of push them out the door. But you have to push them out to do it.
Yeah, I can remember. I mean, we don't see that. My husband and I were talking about that because when we were kids, and you and I are about the same age, we would be out in the summertime until, right? The whole thing was when the street lights come on, you have to come home, right?
Right.
And now
right.
we look around the neighborhood and there's no kids outside. They're all inside playing on the video games and whatnot.
Exactly. And it's just so unhealthy for kids. And I think a lot of parents say, well, I don't. It's not safe for my kids to be outside. Well, the truth of the matter is...
I get that to a certain extent, but you certainly can put them in the backyard and you have
exactly.
the fences and everything. Yeah.
And what I was going to say is I think that's way overblown because the truth of the matter is 99% of the kids in the United States don't get abducted. And most kids who are abducted, it's, you know, by someone they know. So I think that parents can be a little over paranoid with their kids. But so you gotta let your kids outside and play. Obviously not in the street or anything like that. But it absolutely is. And I think that once our kids get used to being indoors and watching shows and doing this kind of things, the longer they stay in, the longer they stay in. They don't want to move from that position. So it's a parent's job to say, okay, you know, now it's summer. We're not going to do this. We used to, you know, in the summertime, turn off the television. Now, back in the day, that was a big deal because we didn't have, you know, our kids didn't have cell phones and iPads
right.
and that kind of thing. And the first couple weeks of the summer were miserable because the kids would complain and they didn't know what to do and they'd fight with each other. But once they got past not having that option of sitting down and watching something and not paying any attention to anything around them, that's when they really kind of got in the rhythm and started to play with each other. Board games. Remember, even if it's a rainy day or whatever, don't forget board games,
mm-hmm.
friends. I mean, those are wonderful things for your kids to do. Good old Monopoly. Now, you have to be older to play, but there's so many wonderful board games.
But those are all coming back in vogue now. Those board games are coming back.
Well, they should because they're fun. They're sort of group activities. You can't just go and sit and stare at something all by yourself. So if you just get creative, walk up and down the aisles of, you know, Target or Walmart or something, check out some games. Again, it's indoors, but there are a lot of outdoor things you can do. But don't feel pressured, parents, that if your kids get bored and whine and say there's nothing to do, to say go find something to do, go make something, go build something. Because they will, but you're really going to have to force them to do it because they're not used to it.
Go ride your bike. Go fill up a clean garbage can.
That's it. Yeah. Sweep the garage. Yeah.
Sweep the garage.
Just don't paint the house. Yeah. One time one of my kids tried to do that and I caught her. I'm like, oh, this is not a good idea. So anyway, we just had too much paint sitting around, but one thing I used to do,
which really passed the time, was my sister, you know, in the days when we used to lather ourselves in baby oil and lay in the sun, right?
And get second-degree burns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my sister, Donna, bless her heart, the one who passed away a few years ago, I used to tease the heck out of her. We have, in Michigan, people may not know this, but we have these bugs, and they're harmless, but they're called fish flies, and they're June bugs, and they come around in June. And when we were growing up, there were tons of them. And my sister was deathly afraid of them. Well, when she would put the baby oil on and lie in the backyard, I would sneak and get a bunch of them and drop them all over her.
Oh, that is so mean.
I know. And then I'd get in trouble, get grounded, and be stuck in the house. So my whole purpose of being outside kind of got defeated. But anyway,
yeah.
Good old days, memories.
Oh, good old days.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, and if you're fortunate enough to have a little patch of woods around your yard, I mean, kids can do so much in the woods. You know,
there you go.
They can dig for things. They can look for things. You know, we have morel mushrooms. I mean, our kids will spend hours, grandkids, looking for morel mushrooms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's just so much out there if you stop and look. You know, make a trail with your kids, even if it's just 50 feet long. Or challenge your kids to do something, you know, like see what you can make out of these three things outside. Or... you know, it really is amazing. You know, even if you're a baker and you like to bake.
I was just going
to
say that. Yeah, help them bake or teach them how to make spaghetti sauce or something. That's another thing I taught from my grandmother. Meg, great to catch up with you. I'm glad we did find you. So good to hear your voice and your great advice. Dr. Meg Meeker, MegMeekerMD.com. We've rescheduled Dr. Barbara Golder for tomorrow from the Catholic Medical Association. So that's coming up on a Friday. More on tomorrow's show when we come back on a Thursday. Feast of St. Anthony of Padua. Pray for us.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tomeo, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship and beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Go ride your bike. Good advice. Anywho, coming up tomorrow, Doug Keck is going to be with us. He gives us the inside word on the awesome programming coming up on EWTN Radio and TV. And then we're going to check in and have a wonderful conversation with Sister Mercy Marie from the Sisters of Life and Dr. Barbara Golder joining us tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.